We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 2, and I want to read verses 12 through 16. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Actually, when you read this portion of Scripture, you want to read verse 12 and then verse 16. There's a parenthesis in there, and I'm going to read that like that. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. This has to do with Paul's gospel. And I think it's interesting here that we're talking about the law and we're talking about Jews and Gentiles. Obviously, the Jews received the law through Moses, and it gave them a deeper knowledge of the sin of lawlessness, really, according to Romans 3:20. But we also see the fact that Gentiles had the law written in their hearts to some degree. When I think about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they didn't have the law. Abimelech didn't have it. Enoch didn't have it. There were certain laws that were given after the flood. The law pertaining to capital punishment was given to Noah because God could see what would happen to the human race if capital punishment wasn't executed. People would continue to kill each other like they were doing before the flood. But anyway, so we have here a law that is written, and a law that is written in the tables of the hearts of individuals. In Romans 1:17, I remind us that it's the just that shall live by faith. And without the law, we would not know when we are living just, or that we are being at least doing the very basic things that we need to do so that we can please God. We sure can't please God and be a thief. We sure can't live by faith and take His name in vain. And there's a list of other sins that we could list. And you can't live in those and still live by faith. Pride is one of them. Wrath, anger. The list of the sins of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. You can't be practicing these and live by faith as well. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, it says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. This is another verse of Scripture that is encouraging us to be just and to live by faith. And it talks about being justified. No man is justified by the law. And we need to read that alone. No man is justified by the law alone in the sight of God. Now, this is not in the Greek text. This is in parentheses. This is just simply interpretation, but I believe it's correctly interpreting. We cannot please God by simply doing that which is our duty to do. And behaving is simply doing that which is our duty to do. I mean, it's the simple thing is that we need to behave ourselves. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we need to love God more than our neighbor. In essence, is what it amounts to. So, but that no man is justified, that is, chargeable or unchargeable by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just, that is, the obedient, the lawful, shall live by faith. And if they do that, they will not be chargeable. And what I mean by being chargeable, it's either a well done, thou good and faithful servant, or thou wicked and slothful servant. The well done, good and faithful servant, I wouldn't say is a charge, but it's a testimony. But when he calls the servant who buried his talent a wicked and slothful servant, that's being charged. And he paid the price for that. In Luke chapter 17, verse 10, we see the charge of an unprofitable servant when he says, "Likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which is our duty to do." When we're obedient to the commandments that God has given us in the moral law, and obviously we are not under the ceremonial law. I don't think that Paul is trying to defend the ceremonial law at all, even though he got involved in the ceremonial law to some degree when he went down to the temple and paid for the vows of some fellows down there, and he spent the rest of his life in jail with a possible little liberty in there. I don't know, but people speculate. But the point is this: when we have done those things which are commanded us, we are to be consider ourselves unprofitable servants, because we've done that which is our duty to do. And what God wants us to do is to go beyond doing which is our duty to do, and that is living by faith. Living by faith honors and glorifies Him. Now, in Romans 2:12 it says, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law." The word "perish" is apolumai. Apolumai also carries the idea of ruin and judgment. This about perishing in that they will not inherit the kingdom. But when you sin without the without law, shall also perish without the law. In other words, the Gentiles didn't have the law, and so their judgment is going to be based upon the fact that they didn't have the law and they didn't know what was required of them. But they will be judged by it. And then, when I think about the Gentiles being without the law, I think about Abimelech. Abimelech lived in the days of Abraham. And it says in Genesis 20, verses 4 through 6, "But Abimelech had not come near her," that is Sarah, "and he said, Lord," I think Abimelech was a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, couldn't be Isaac and Jacob. He was a believer in the God of Abraham and Noah, and that goes back that way. Then these other guys hadn't been born yet. But anyway, I believe Abimelech knew the Lord. He says, "Will thou slay also a righteous nation?" The word there, righteous, has the idea or carries the thought of just conformity to a standard. Now the standard, of course, was not the Mosaic law. It hadn't been given. But here's Abimelech. He is living in the light of his Lord and being obedient to the limit that he can do with the light that he's been given him. And the Lord didn't rebuke him. Say, "Well, you didn't know about this, and so therefore I'm going to nail you for that, and you didn't know about this, I'm going to nail you for that." No. We'll see how the Lord dealt with him. And he said, "Said he not unto me, she is my sister? She even herself said, he is my brother." Isn't it interesting? Abraham and Sarah telling half-truths. You know, they were the ones that weren't being honorable with Abimelech. And it says, "In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." Integrity. This man had integrity and he was innocent. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Isn't that interesting? The Lord was holding back Abimelech from doing some gross error, gross sin against him. Because Sarah was not to be that man's wife. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. So here we have Abimelech with the law written in his heart before the law. Abraham also lived in the time before the law. Now Abimelech, I don't believe, was living by faith. Because Abimelech wasn't called unto the land flowing with milk and honey. Or called to the land of Canaan. Abraham was. Now, in Romans chapter 2, verse 12b, it says, as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So when we think about being judged by the law, these are Jews, or the nation of Israel, that will be judged more harshly because of what they knew. When you read in chapter 2, I'm going to refer to a portion here in Romans 2:10. It says, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So we're talking about Jews and Gentiles. And the level of knowledge of the Jews was greater than the level of the knowledge of the Gentiles. And what I think he's saying here in these verses, regardless of the insight that you have in the law, you can be just, whether a Jew or a Gentile. And Jews and Gentiles, regardless of the level of the knowledge you have of the law, you can please God. Because obviously Abraham pleased God, and he didn't have the law to govern him. Isaac didn't have it, and Jacob didn't have it, and all the other men that we will be looking at briefly here in Hebrews 11 a little bit later on this morning, they didn't have the law, but they were able to please God on the level of their justness. And there were times when they were not too just. When I think about Abimelech and Abraham, I would say that Abraham should have been ashamed of himself. Because he really wasn't trusting God when he schemed with Sarah to keep from being killed. See, God had already told him that it would be his seed that would inherit the land. And he didn't have any children. And so therefore he couldn't die, and neither could Sarah. Period. They couldn't die. Because what God said had not been completed or fulfilled. And Abraham didn't believe that. And so he schemed, not only with Abimelech, but with Pharaoh as well. But anyway, let's go on. So, if you've sinned in the law, you're going to be judged by the law. What law you have. In Luke chapter 12, verses 47 through 48 tells us this to some degree. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. The nation of Israel had more light than the Gentiles. They will suffer the greater consequences. Continuing, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few. There are consequences of not knowing and still disobeying, but you will not be, the severity of the consequences will not be as great. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. The more light you have, the greater the responsibility. That's the reason why the Lord encourages us to be careful of how much light we do share with people, because it will bring greater judgment on their behalf. And I'm really not interested in them getting more stripes because of me. But I do want to help them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. So, now, continuing in Romans 2 and verse 13, it says, for the hearers of the law are just before God, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And the word doers here is an interesting word. It's also translated a poet. Poet. Actually, it's performer. A poet in those days was a performer. And so what we need to be doing is not just simply hearing the law, but we need to be performing. We need to be obeying. We need to be doing what the law requires. And this, of course, is a reflection upon the Jews. In verse 14, it says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves." So a Gentile, not having the law given to them, behaving himself in a decent way with his neighbor and with his God, he's going to be judged according to that light. Now, in verse 15, it says, "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another." What this is saying, it's a little difficult to understand what this is saying, but I believe what it's saying here is this: the law written in their heart is bearing witness. What does that mean? It's speaking to them. A witness speaks. What they have written in their heart is speaking to them. It's not literally, it's speaking to their conscience. They know what's right and wrong to a certain degree. The only ones that really don't know what's right and wrong are those who have seared their conscience. And you can do that. What does searing have to do with? Well, of course, cauterizing a wound is to keep it from bleeding. But also cauterizing a wound is to keep it from hurting. When you kill the nerves, if you cut off your arm and you you cauterize the wound, if you cut off your arm or leg, you're actually killing the nerves at that point. And it reduces the pain. I'm not saying it kills the pain, but that's part of it, is reducing the pain, but it also stopping the bleeding. So our conscience, the law written in our heart, their conscience also bearing witness or testifying to them, and their thoughts, not only to their conscience, but their thoughts, it's being witnessed to, they're thinking about them. And it says, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing. The word accusing has to do with charging. In other words, they have a law, and there was a law back in Abraham's day called the law of Hammurabi. I don't know whether you ever heard of that law. It was written by, I don't think he was a saved man, but he had a law that the people in that day lived by. It seemed to be a just law. It was not spiritual, but at least kept things civil. You know what I mean? The law written in these the hearts of these, and witnessing to their conscience and their thoughts, will allow them to charge people when they do wrong, and to excuse people when they do right. In other words, this law helps them to make choices between right and wrong. That's what the latter part of this verse is dealing with. Else excusing, and this is a legal term or a legal plea to clear one's name. So they use the law written in their heart either to charge people or to clear them of what they may be doing. And like I said, those who have seared their conscience with a hot iron, they are lawless. 1 Timothy 4:2 speaks about searing the conscience. It says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's cauterizing. And the conscience is no longer witnessing to them. It's over. And then they do that which is right in their own eyes rather than being controlled by their conscience. Of course, we don't have to worry with that today. We have the written commandments of the Lord. Okay? Now, Paul testified about his life in Acts 23:1. And says, Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God till this day. Paul did live a civil life. He lived according to the law until the time that he no longer accepted the ceremonial law. And his conscience toward God was clear. And we can do the same thing. If we're living a just life, then our conscience is not bothering us. If we're behaving, we are not guilty, or we don't feel guilty. Okay? So Paul was able to do that. Then in verse 16 of Romans 2, it says, In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Notice it's the secrets of men. When we are breaking the moral law, do we do that in secret? I don't know about you, but I do. I'm not telling everybody the things that I'm doing. But there's going to come a day, if I haven't dealt with those sins, that those secret things that I have done in disobedience to God will be dealt with openly. And it will be dealt with according to my gospel. What is my gospel? My gospel, or Paul's gospel, is a gospel that has to do with living by faith. In other words, you've been just, and your secrets are not bothering you. You don't have any secrets. But have you lived by faith? I think this is the key to Paul's gospel. In Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, it is a reference to my gospel, which is Paul's gospel. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world or the ages, that word world is plural, ages, began. Paul's gospel was a secret that had been hid from the ages past and was revealed now in Paul's day. So this is not how to get saved. Paul's gospel is not how to be saved. It's not the common salvation. It's a mystery. It's been hidden. But it says in verse 26, But now is made manifest. And by the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the age-lasting or everlasting God, made known to all Gentiles, for what reason? The obedience of faith. We need obedience to the faith. And to be obedient to the faith, one must live justly and then trust God. Believe God. Believe what God says about the hope that is before us. We have another reference to my gospel in 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember, isn't that something? Paul says, now remember this. This is not easy to put these pieces together, but I trust that the Lord will help me to do it in a way that will be easily comprehended. But it says, Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. There's two things here, I believe, that are significant. First of all, Jesus Christ is the seed of David. What does that refer to? That refers to the fact that Jesus Christ will one day be king. He will rule and reign on the throne of his father David. Not only that, he was raised from the dead. What is the significance of Jesus Christ being raised from the dead? You know, Lazarus was raised from the dead. There's been others that have been raised from the dead, even during Jesus' ministry. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is significant in that he became our high priest. And it made faith operative. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Now this doesn't mean that you can't get saved, because Jews and Gentiles have been saved for millenniums. It just simply means that if Jesus Christ be not raised from the dead, you can't please God, because it's faith is the only way that you can please Him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead made it possible for me to please God. Not get saved. The death on the cross made it possible for me to be saved, and I receive that for myself personally. I'm born into the family of God. So He made faith work. Now, look in Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Present tense. That has to do with faithfulness. The promise of life for the age, or the kingdom life, is given to them that are believing in the present tense. And it's the promise, singular in number. And that is defined in 1 John 2:25 as age-lasting life. Okay? But before faith came, isn't that interesting? Before faith came, there was a time when faith was not operative. We were kept under the law. You know when that was? That was while they were in the wilderness. In the wilderness, there was no faith. And we'll see that in just a minute. No faith in the wilderness. I mean, they saw things, and there were miracles going on all the time. I mean, their feet didn't swell, and the shoes didn't wear out. Manna fell every day, and they could see fire and smoke every day, you know. But there was no faith, wilderness. They were shut up unto faith, which should afterward be revealed. Where the law was our schoolmaster. What was the schoolmaster? The law. Where was the law given? In the wilderness. It was given in the wilderness. That's where the law was given. And the schoolmaster is one who drives the kids to school. I guess you could say it's one who leads the children to a place where they can learn. But let's go on. To bring us unto Christ. And who is Christ? Well, Christ is the new resurrected high priest. We had a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now we have a new priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is that high priest. Now let's see how that works. It's through Jesus Christ that we might brings us to Christ, our high priest, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. That is, the ceremonial law. Okay? Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, it says, Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So if you're not living by faith, you're not pleasing God. He says, you're not pleasing me. I don't take any pleasure in what you're doing. Now I'm reading that verse because I want you to see that it's the just that live by faith comes before Hebrews 11. Because Hebrews 11 is dealing with men who by faith did this and by faith did that. And I assure you that they were just before they started doing anything by faith. Because it says so in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. Okay? Now, in Hebrews 11:8, it says, By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. I'm just showing you, here is a man, Abraham, by faith. Now, he didn't have the law, but he had faith. Now, what kind of faith did he have? Obviously, Jesus Christ hadn't been raised from the dead yet, has he? So he was shut up unto faith to some degree. But when you read in Romans chapter 4 and verse 9, you find out what God did for Abraham. And it says, Cometh this blessed upon the circumcision only, or by the uncircumcision also? Is it by those that don't have the law, or by those who do have the law? Okay? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham. What does it mean to reckon faith to Abraham? It means God gave Abraham credit for living by faith, even though he didn't. Wasn't raised from the dead, but he got credit for doing it. And he got the righteousness reckoned unto him that was by faith as well. Okay? Now, in Hebrews 11:29, it's interesting to note that by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land when the Egyptians, are saying too, were drowned. The children of Israel, before the wilderness, did something by faith. They went through the Red Sea. That's just like Abraham. He lived by faith before the law. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 through 25, it says, "Therefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That after that faith has come, we no longer are under the schoolmaster." Where was the schoolmaster operating? In the wilderness. The schoolmaster was bringing whom? The children of Israel. To where? To a new high priest called Eleazar. Because Aaron was taken away. And so, it was in the wilderness that the law directed them in a direction so that they could learn to live by faith. Look down in Hebrews, look in our notes, it says in Hebrews 11:30, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." When you read verse 29, it says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea." Now, for 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness, and there is no mention of faith whatsoever. They were under the schoolmaster. The schoolmaster was bringing them to the Jordan River and to a new high priest so that they could start living by faith, because the priesthood changed, just like it did when Christ was raised from the dead. The priesthood changed. And so, when you see from Hebrews 11:29 to Hebrews 11:30, there's no mention of faith whatsoever, and they're two separate events. They had now crossed through the Jordan River on dry land, and here they were fighting battles in the land of Jericho. And notice that he says, "And they compassed about," well, they went around Jericho 7 days. And you know what? The ceremonial law was out. Because the ceremonial law says you can't break the Sabbath. And they were doing it. Because it didn't apply to them. It doesn't apply to us. We don't have to worry about keeping the Sabbath day holy. We just need to concern ourselves with living by faith and defeating the enemies that would cause us to perish. That's the whole issue. So, I'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 9. "Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back..." Draw back from what? Living by faith. You can still be just. But if you draw back from living by faith, he says, my soul will have no pleasure in you. You are nothing in the world but an unprofitable servant. Because you are doing that which is your duty to do. And God wants us to defeat our enemies, and by defeating our enemies, obtain the inheritance, the heavenly inheritance. But he goes on, he says, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or to ruin, but we are of them that are of faith." The word "believe" is actually a noun. We are of them that are of faith to the saving of our souls, or our life, as far as the coming kingdom is concerned. So, regardless of the level of law that you have, you can still be just, whether a Gentile or a Jew. And you can please God whether you have the law or whether you didn't. Abraham did. And he got credit for living by faith. Today, we have a high priest that allows us and gives us the power to live by faith. Without his resurrection, faith would be vain. We'd be wasting our time. May God help us to see that we need to be just and we need to live by faith. Father, just pray that you'd bless these thoughts to our hearts and lives, that we might behave ourselves in a way that would allow us to be considered to be just, and also to trust you regardless of our life circumstances. For truly, Lord, we desire to please you, and we know that without faith it is impossible to please you. Bless again, we pray, these thoughts to each of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.